Did we converse on the 1981 movies?
No. You guys, this is fun because
okay,
I just ate a shit ton of carbs.
I ate a bunch of acid. Sean had some carbs. We're gonna carbo
loading,
time.
And I just decided to drink mustard. So
this is where we're at. Anybody joining in today? You know that we do our Monday episodes. We call them brunches. They're not your full blown movie reviews. You just heard Pulp Fiction, which is just.
I don't know
if yeah you heard Pulp Fiction. You did, and that was some deep conversation. Then on the brunches we have a little fun. We do some different stuff. We like to do a lot of top five conversations on the Monday brunches. So what we did, we tend to pick a year sometimes and go like top movies from this year. We asked executive producer Bud Larson what movie he wanted to do in March, and he was like, you know what, I don't want a movie. Give me a piece of that brunch. And we said, all right, what do you want to do? He goes, I want top five movies from my birth year, 1981. And we said, dude, let's do it. And then I was like, oh, man, this is a little tougher than I thought because, Bud, just like my birth year, 1982, pickings were slim a little bit. Now, Sean may disagree with me, but pickings nins are a little slim nins.
There's a lot of fucking awesome shit, dude. You guys need to watch some fucking movies, bros.
So this is why it's going to be fun, because usually we try to converse on like, hey, let's not overlap on movies. We didn't do that today.
So, no, we didn't.
So we're going to see how this one goes. And I think no matter what, it's going to be a really good time.
Yeah. I am already having a great time.
I'm
going to crash here in about 3 minutes, but.
Has good time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Have good time.
I am good times.
So thanks to Bud Larson, we got our topic today. We're doing top five movies from 1981. Let's talk some honorable mentions.
Okay.
Sean's got a million of them, so I'm going to at least try to knock some of them out of the park so that you can still have 10 more to go.
Okay, I'll still read them, but because I have it in the thing.
A couple honorables, Sean, you will be happy with me. Listen, The Evil Dead came out this year.
Yes, sir.
And as much as I want to be like, yeah, fuck that movie. Like, I really did enjoy that we got to watch that as part of this podcast. There's a full-blown episode on it. Go listen to it.
You bet.
A movie that will come up soon, I think, for us. Stripes. Got to throw that on the list. We'll get to that eventually. I don't care what you say, but we got Friday the 13th Part 2 coming out this year, too.
You bet.
Oh, that's when we finally get some Jason involved in our lives. And there's a movie that I have not seen since maybe I was 6 years old, perhaps. That I don't even know if it's good, but I know that we used to laugh at one scene in it. It's called The Gods Must Be Crazy. Has anybody ever heard of that movie?
I don't think so.
I couldn't even tell you what it's about, but I know that there's a Coke bottle that this tribesman from Africa finds and like throws in the air, and we laughed. That's all I know, but I know it came out this year.
What a solid movie.
Man.
I know it came out this year, and I think we had a really good time with it. But
sounds like a really good movie.
Notice how it's not on my list. What do you got, Sean?
Oh, okay. Really? Yeah. All right.
Go.
Let's go with Modern Romance, Scanners, Mad Max 2, Funhouse.
Mad Max 2?
Yeah, you bet.
I didn't see that on my
list. What an Warrior. Idiot.
Funhouse. That is a Toby Hooper, I think, right after. Not right. Maybe it's right after. I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The Funhouse. This is a big year for slashers.
It seems like so. Can you correct me if I'm wrong? Halloween 1 comes out, and then everybody wants to make like slashers. Okay, so that's why pretty much every movie made this year was some sort of slasher.
78. Everyone was like, "Yeah, we need to make some money too. Let's make up a fucking funny killer and have him kill some bitches."
Why not?
The Prowler, Halloween 2, Sharky's Machine is not a slasher. That's a cool Burt Reynolds movie, actually. Southern Comfort is the Warriors director. Fucking Christ.
Christ.
Gary McKinnon.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh boy. Oh, fuck. Walter Hill.
Steve Juergens.
Walter Hill. Great Walter Hill movie. George Romero made Knight Riders. Fucking awesome movie.
Turns out it's not about a car.
Nope.
Damn it.
It's about medieval chopper wielding. Chopper riding. Sorry.
Good.
And the movie called The Pit is a really cool get your buddies together, drink some beer, get some pizza movie. The Howling, great Joe Dante. The Beyond, we're getting in some Lucio Fulci. The House by the Cemetery as well. Let's go. The Burning, a great slasher movie. Tom Savini effects are some of the best. Cutter's Way, who's the dad in, who's Peter McAllister?
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Why,
John Hurd. His not best performance of that I've seen him in any movie. It's amazing. Also, Jeff Bridges in that movie. Just Before Dawn is an amazing slasher movie. And then a fun, crazy ass, what the fuck am I watching movie from? I don't even know. It's what's the Bollywood kind of thing? Mystics in Bali. Fucking great flying head, weird magic stuff.
Oh, okay.
Sean has a longer list of movies from 1981 than he did from 1999.
Yeah.
Wild stuff.
Says a lot about Sean and really a lot about 1981.
Yes, it does. AJ, do you have any honorable mentions from 1981?
Good job, bud.
Oh, is he done? Oh, okay.
he took all mine.
Oh, yeah. He took all mine. Yeah, so.
I liked all those.
I mean, those are all pretty good. I did have some, so let's see. I'll give you My Dinner with Andre. That was a solid. I haven't seen it in a long time, but if you're going to talk about, you know, it's got Wallace Shawn, so what else do you need? But it's really just two guys like literally sitting in a diner and like talking and like discussing like their stories and like life events and things. Let's see. I had Stripes on here. Unfortunately, like I can't say that it's like, oh, my top thing. Cause I just haven't seen it enough.
It's been way long since I've seen that movie.
And then I'm going to say, I mean, there's an obvious one on here, guys, and it's Raiders, but it's, you know, I'll let that one go. So I think that's all I'll need to give for right now.
I didn't say it cause it might've been on someone's list, but I'll just say it in case it's not. An American Werewolf in London came out this year. Mm. Incredible fucking movie.
Bud Larson, he's got a couple honorables here. He's throwing Raiders of the Lost Ark out on that one, obviously. And then he's got History of the World Part 1, Mel Brooks. I have never seen that before. Have you ever seen that before?
I haven't.
Parts and Pieces.
Yeah, yep. So that it's friendly reminder that that's something that I used to have on my list. I'm like, shit, I gotta see that. Madeline Kahn, Dom DeLuise.
Kahn, say no more.
Well, let's pop into it. I'm going to start us off with number 5. I dug deep on this one and actually found some movies that I completely forgot about that I know I watched as kids. This is The Great Muppet Caper.
Okay.
With the Muppets.
Okay.
Do you remember this at all?
No.
I didn't see
it. Okay. No, I didn't. Yeah.
No, this is like, because this was, I would have seen this a couple years later as a kid. This would have just been like my Miss Rachel for Willa. You know, like here's the Muppets. Just watch it. It's fine. I mean, this was like, I think this is the one where Kermit and the Frog.
Yes.
And Gonzo and Fozzie Bear, they're like reporters who go to England.
Okay.
And there's that famous like bike, like, they show them riding the bikes where they basically have these Muppets actually riding bikes like practical effects. I don't know. I haven't seen this movie in forever, but I legitimately remember loving this when I was a kid. Mm. And it turns out it came out in 1981. So I got to go in The Great Muppet Caper for me for number 5.
All right. Damn.
Yeah, I'm diving deep on this.
Wow.
Respect.
Nice.
Shawners?
Let's go. You mentioned Friday the 13th Part 2. That is my number 5.
Yes.
I think it's a like excellent slasher movie. It's like the one of the pinnacles of like the formula you can get. Mm-hmm. And you get, you know, Jason from the first one, who, you know, is not the killer, obviously, and then he is in this and he only has the bag over his head, and which is a really fucking cool look for a slasher. I just think I love all the characters in this one. That's a big deal for me too. Like a Friday the 13th Part 4 is probably my favorite.
Okay.
Just because the characters are so much fun. You get Crispin Glover as one of them.
Oh, Jesus.
But Part 2, like, it's almost kind of the same, where I love the characters and I love seeing all the gore happen to them. Yeah, it's just one, like a beat-by-beat kind of structure of a slasher classic as you can get.
I'm actually jumping in there because Bud's number 5 is actually Friday the 13th Part 2.
Let's go.
Well.
He says, after watching the original Halloween, I absolutely loved horror films. I believe this is the first time Jason Voorhees makes an appearance. He's correct on that, right?
Yep.
But I think Bud's experience is probably what a lot of people's were, is like Halloween really made these movies like, all right, I think I can watch these. I think it's pretty cool. And I think that's where Bud comes in and where a lot of people come in, is like, this is almost the perfect timing for this movie to come out.
I mean, you're 100% right. Like, throughout the whole entirety of the 80s almost is like just like that. The horror movies that came out are slashers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your five, AJ?
My number five is a movie called Nighthawks.
Ooh.
This is some Sylvester Stallone action packed, kind of over the top to me. But this is, I mean, this is when this stuff like really started in, you know, over the top action. They were getting a little bit more wild, and you get some great Stallone with glasses and beard.
You gotta like that.
You gotta appreciate
There's
that.
Something about that.
You know, I think you should always take an appreciation out of it. But if, what's his name? Rutger Hauer.
Hauer, yeah.
Great bad guy. Maybe almost always one of my most punchable faces in any movie that he's ever in.
Billy D. Williams.
It's a fun movie. There, I'll be honest with you though, like it's number five, and it's one of those that we're trying to make this an action movie, but my God, it's dragging on. It's like, but then like you get that little burst of Stallone like yelling and shooting a gun, you're like, all right, fine, I'm in.
Yeah.
So Nighthawks, it is a fun watch.
I always thought that was called My Cocks.
Oh, yes, it is. Sorry.
There's a different movie called My Cocks.
Yes, that's, yes.
VHS right behind you. AJ.
Yes.
My Cocks. Oh, shit, it's on our wall. Look at that.
There it is, right there, baby. I'll pull that out.
Oh, yeah, just pull it out for the cameras that aren't turned on.
Everything
Okay,
there
cool.
There we go. Got it, guys.
Hey, audience, look at.
Hey, guys.
Show it to the camera.
Look at this. yeah.
You know, we're a little loose on these episodes, you know?
Yeah, you know, we get a little...
It's not as serious.
Rutger Hauer.
No one listens to
Wolfgar.
These brunches.
Wolfgar. Yeah, okay.
My number four, I'm going... It's a pretty bad cover.
Come on, man.
It's pretty bad.
That's a terrible cover.
It's a third, which the third eye is our gun.
It doesn't look like either of them.
just looks like a cross-eyed guy.
Just type in Nighthawks movie.
VHS cover.
You'll see it.
Well, that's bad.
My number four, I gotta go For Your Eyes Only, James Bond.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Not the best James Bond film, but honestly...
No, GoldenEye is the best.
Well, yeah. This is towards the top, and I still have great fond memories of watching all these old James Bond movies with my dad, with my brother. And this was the Roger Moore era, and I might say this is the best Roger Moore one. I think there's just tons of action, good villain in this one. I think this is the one with like the ski. They end up skiing and stuff like that. I mean, this is a good Bond movie, and this was the one that came out in 81. That's going to be my number four, For Your Eyes Only.
Wow. Roger Moore was my mom's favorite Bond, and this is still when Bond is still a little bit out there. You know, it's a little bit still, but like it's fantastical storytelling. It's not Daniel Craig, very real,
grounded.
Yeah.
My number four?
Yeah, Sean.
Let's go with Michael Mann's Thief. Guys, if you needed some more Drive aesthetic, Nicholas Winding Refn, Ryan Gosling, Drive aesthetic in your life, this is where pretty much he got it.
Damn.
Michael Mann directs the hell out of this movie, starring James Caan and Jim Belushi's in this.
Holy shit.
James Caan's pretty much just like this kind of criminal thief. Is like doing bank heists, almost like the bank heist in Heat, where they kind of they're like drilling through the safe or whatever. There's that kind of moment in here. This movie looks fucking phenomenal, and I think that's what kind of like the aesthetic that Nicholas Winding Refn got for Drive. Riveting stuff on Criterion Collection. I'm sure you can find it streaming somewhere, but yeah, really, really just fucking cool movie. Like Michael Mann doesn't get enough credit for making cool ass fucking movies, I think.
Cool ass movies. AJ, what's your four, man?
Another cool ass movie. Must be Burt Reynolds or something. It's The Cannonball Run.
Nice.
Dude, Cannonball Run. It took me a while to actually see this movie. I ended up seeing it. I watched it because. There was a podcast I listened to. He was a guest on it, and he's like a car guy, but he is done, and I think he might have one of the records or something for the Cannonball Run route. And it was the story he told was just insane, like of them doing it. And I think he had his own bet going on. So it basically, long story short, it prompted me to watch the movie. And it's very fun. It's very Smokey and the Bandit to me. Honestly, I would always get these two mixed up thinking about them. And but it is. It's just. It's kind of your classic, you know, Smokey and the Bandit, Dukes of Hazzard, like car racing. The guys who are racing will just do whatever it takes to win this race. And there are points where it's just like, okay, it's a little hokey.
Yep.
But it's fine. Yeah. And it's Burt Reynolds, man.
Yeah, well, come on.
You and Bud are on the same page here, man. Look at all of us making connections with our boy Bud. He says his number four is Cannonball Run 2. He says, drive across the country at a dangerous speed. Yes, please. Burt Reynolds using an ambulance fitted with a NASCAR engine. Genius. Any big city you drive through, all you have to do is just flip the switch and turn on the lights and the sirens. Like, I mean, like that movie, that's one of the better, I think, like, Cannonball Run style movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Roger Moore, there's random cameos. The other drivers are just like,
yep,
it's crazy.
I thought of a movie that we can do on our watch parties. It's the movies that'll never get their full episode. Like Cannonball Run might get one,
sure.
But there's a movie called Speed Zone. I think I've talked about this before. John Candy's in it. Okay. All these like famous people are in it and they kind of do a Cannonball Run type thing, but it's like, it's not the same.
Okay.
That might be a fun movie that we could do on our watch party. Cause it's never going to get its full movie watch, but like, it's worth watching for us to give some shit to it, you know?
Hell yeah.
Oh, especially John Candy's, man.
First time I watched it, I was in middle school. And we were
Speed Zone?
Cannonball Run. and it was just like a movie that he didn't have a lesson that day. So he's just like, I watched Cannonball Run. And it was a fucking great time.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it since, but it was so much fun.
Yeah.
I think it's me, right?
Oh, yeah.
Number three for me, Superman 2.
Okay. Make this year your most awesome yet with a box of awesome from Bespoke Post every month. The box of awesome is filled with carefully chosen gear from the best small brands around the world. Let's see what I got this month. This is a travel growler to take with you and two metal cups with it too. So I can just drink beer on the go.
Dude, I got a freaking coffee maker like over an open campfire. It's like this thermos that makes freaking coffee. I can be a real man, dude.
There you go. See, I've been doing Bespoke Post for like almost 2 years now. I literally get so excited every single month. Like when new month starts, it's the first of the month. I can go in and see what they've curated for me automatically. It's always the coolest stuff from what I end up wanting to pick, right? So whether you want to drink and eat more awesome, dress and travel more awesome, or explore more awesome, Box of Awesome has you covered this year. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome for you. It's free to join, and they release new items every month across a ton of different categories. When you become a member, you'll have access to stellar discounts across a plethora of products. We're talking 30% off or more sometimes. Plus, with each Box of Awesome, you're supporting small businesses. 90% of everything that comes in your Box of Awesome is from a small, up-and-coming brand.
That's huge.
It's huge, man. Yeah. So it's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel it at any time. So get a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code CONFUSED at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code CONFUSED, for a free mystery gift with your first monthly shipment. Boxofawesome.com, code CONFUSED.
Are we fans of the old Superman, like Christopher Reeves, or is that maybe just more my generation?
I've seen the first one.
I don't know. I don't think I've seen this one, actually.
I know they're not good, but they were kind of groundbreaking. It's like the first superhero type movies that ever came out.
Yeah.
And I just have vivid memories, man, of especially I've like watched this at my grandparents' house. They always had these on VHS, probably ripped from TV or whatever. Oh, yeah. But like there was something really charming about the Superman movies, and this one was pretty cool because it was sort of like a continuation from the first one, sort of a part two, I guess. Like he's developing his relationship with Lois Lane. There's these three Kryptonian criminals that are like doing all the day. If you saw them, you'd be like, oh duh. I know.
Oh, this is what it
is. It's bad, but it's like good. The music, that Superman theme song that you think of. I don't know. I haven't seen that in a long time, but Superman 2 like was pretty damn good this year when it came out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, dude.
Number three for Shawners.
I like to, whenever we do these, I like to dig in and see what came out and compile my list, get all my honorable mentions out there, and then come up with the top five. But I also like to pick one out that I've heard about for a long time, but I never just sat down and watched it.
And then you watch it?
And then I watch it. And so Road Games is my number three.
Ooh.
This is one of Tarantino's favorite Australian movies. This stars Stacey Keach, and you got a little bit of Jamie Lee Curtis in there as well. Picture Rear Window by Hitchcock mixed with Duel.
Okay.
Mm.
I fucking loved this movie so much. The script is fucking phenomenal. Everett DeRoche is like a renowned Australian screenwriter, done a bunch of stuff. It's mostly Stacey Keach driving a truck and talking to his dog. I don't know what more you would want out of that other than just maybe he's trying to catch a killer at the same time. But it's basically Stacey Keach as his truck driver. They call him Truckies in Australia. He takes a load of meat and he's got to get it to this certain point, but he's also maybe has witnessed a murder happen. And so he kind of sees this guy along the way as well and sees different hitchhikers. And everyone like is kind of going the same way. And so he keeps seeing them at like different stops as well. It's just so much. I had such a goddamn
I'm watching
good time.
The trailer right now while you're talking about it. This looks really awesome.
It's so much fun, dude. Like,
Jamie Lee Curtis, jeez.
Yeah, I know. It's really Stacey Keach. I don't think it's enough credit for being a phenomenal actor,
yeah.
Especially around this time. He holds this movie down and doesn't like. At certain parts, I'm like, you have to break every once in a while. Like you have to just like it's just you and the camera and the truck and the dog. Like what else can you fucking do?
Yeah.
But he grounds it and makes it so real the entire time, and he's such a fucking charming dude. Yeah, I fucking loved it. Definitely check out Road Games if you haven't seen it.
Cool.
Road Games.
Number three for the age.
My number three is Porky's.
Porky's.
All right, bud. Yeah.
Well, it might be on there.
You never know. Porky's. I feel like this is such a, I want to say precursor, but you know, I think Animal House was earlier than this, but
Animal House was 70s.
Yeah. So it's like, it was like this continuation of this coming of age kind of thing. And there's like a lot of this, like, you know, sex in high school kind of a thing. And Porky's it's this like roadhouse restaurant thing.
It's the one you watch with your brother.
Yeah. It's the one that you do. And dude, I cannot tell you how many times like it would just get brought up among like friend groups or something. And I had never seen it. And they're like, Porky's? Oh, man, you guys ever seen Porky? Dude, it's...
Porky's too.
Dude, it's crazy, man. It's so crazy. He puts his wiener through a hole. And then she grabs it. And it's one of those movies that, like, it gets explained to you by friends, and it gets hyped up a lot, and then you see it, you're like, okay, I guess that was what it was. But in the end, like, Porky's is one of those movies. It's very funny. It is a... I don't know. Like, maybe it shouldn't be number three. But at the same time, for 81, I mean, I think it is a pretty damn popular movie. And, like, you know, you get to see boobies when you're a boy. You know? So it's like, oh, man, that's pretty cool.
Couldn't make Porky's today, man.
No way, dude.
Really couldn't.
No way.
$2.5 million budget grossed $112 million.
Good job.
Mostly because of the Lassie scene.
Yep.
There you go.
Mm.
Bud Larson's number three for Bud Larson. He's going Halloween 2. Oh,
good job.
My man, Bud. He says it picks up where it left off, continuing Michael's onslaught. Spoiler alert. How do you get shot?
Come on.
How do you get shot in both eyes and not die? I also had that question. Also sad to see Dr. Loomis die. Yeah, you nailed it, man.
Kind
of. Well, you say spoilers.
Oh, sorry.
God, guys.
I'm going to move on to my number two because my number two is Halloween 2.
Okay.
I mean, like, you knew that was going to be on my list. I, for the longest time, would only watch the first Halloween just because of just how we covered it. It's so brilliant. It's the movie. Like, why do I need to screw it up with the other Halloweens? But I finally, one year, like, said, all right, fine. Let's click on number two. And I almost equally love number two as much as I did number one just because it is so, it's the same movie. It's just extended.
Yeah.
Most of the same people are in it, you know, like you're it feels like a true continuation of it, and I wanted to know more, like what happened after he left the after the first one, and now you kind of like know what happened. Yeah. So Halloween 2 became a viewing of every Halloween. It's 1 and 2 nice. Usually, no matter what, and then if I get onto more, cool. But
yeah.
But those two usually are like on Halloween night.
There's a scene in there when I first watched that movie. I actually watched it on TV for the first time. And I can't believe they showed it, but it's the fake Michael Myers, the guy like pranking everyone who gets hit by the van.
It's Ben Tramer.
Yeah.
Ben Tramer is the kids.
Yeah, you're right. Fuck, yeah, you're right.
Scary.
But like the shot of him just like burning. Like, that dude's fucking toast.
I don't like that.
It freaked me out when I was a kid.
They found Danny. I fucking love that movie. God damn it.
Dude, spoilers. God. Jeez.
Number two.
You need to move on to Halloween 3 this year.
I have.
Okay.
I will give it another try. It was fine.
Yeah.
But I will do it. I will do it again.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Hopefully October is around the corner.
More Tom Atkins from the fog. Number two for me. This one, I'm a big fan of Pure Cinema Podcast and Elric Kane, one of the hosts on there, used to be a host of a podcast called Killer POV, which is just horror movies. They just talked about horror movies the whole time. And he always said that this was his favorite horror movie of all time. It's called Possession. And I finally checked it out. You had to buy this like prestigious Blu-ray from some weird company that's like overseas that sends you like this immaculate like box set of it. It's a Polish movie. Directed by Andrzej Zulawski. The stars Isabella Gianni, and you got some Sam Neill in there, boys. Sam Neill is this like one of my favorite Sam Neill things that he's ever done. It's pretty much just about this couple who was married. This guy goes away, and he comes back, finds out that his wife has, you know, kind of moved on and cheated on him and is seeing somebody else. And it's just his like existential dread about like a woman being able to do that to a man and like what goes on through a man's head when that happens to him. You know, it's almost selfish. It's almost, you were gone. So what the hell was I supposed to do? I was taking care of our kid. And, I watched it and I'm like, yeah, I liked it, but I don't think I've lived life enough to have that. Like, I don't think I've had enough arguments with a significant other yet. And so then I did. And that didn't turn out well. And then I watched the movie again and I was like, oh, I get it. Oh, I totally get it. But this injects some like supernatural elements too. Like she gives birth to a fucking squid baby thing. It's no spoilers.
I was actually interested until you said that.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh man, what was this?
Wow, psychological like, oh, okay, thriller. Right. Wow.
Well, yeah, squid baby. Yeah, now.
Should have stopped while I was ahead. Isabella Gianni's like incredible in this. You maybe have seen memes out there of this where she's kind of in the subway and she's got like a sack of groceries and she's like banging it against the wall and like all these eggs go everywhere, all this milk goes everywhere, and then she starts squatting and just like all this ooze starts coming out of her nether regions.
Spoilers.
It's a weird fucking trip of a movie, but it's a damn masterpiece.
7.3 on IMDb, 83% on Rotten Tomatoes.
There you go.
Look
Possession.
At that.
There you go. Check it out.
Possession.
AJ, your number two, please, now.
My numero dos is Escape from New York.
Yeah, nice. Baby.
It had to be in, Daddy.
When is that one hitting the podcast?
Snake Plissken? Hopefully are you kidding? There's just something about the scene of him like getting ready to go into Manhattan and like having this conversation. And it's like where all these tropes were born and they must have been. It's like, God damn it. We need Snake Plissken. It's like, you can't handle me. I'm Snake Plissken. Where's my gun at? And then I need boots and my jacket. And then he goes in and it's just like, well, I don't know how you're getting out of here. It's like, yeah, this is a bad idea from the get-go, but thank God it's Snake Plissken.
Snake's in there. We're all right.
And like, that's but all I... We? I like everything I remember about this movie just feels like a fever dream. And I feel like that's just, it's like, how can we inject futuristic elements and like computer screens and then let's send him on in. And then he's just there and it's Manhattan's just a big old prison.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, let's just watch it unfold and watch Kurt Russell's be a badass.
Yep.
I'm good with it, man.
It's,
so
it's literally the best he's ever looked, I think. I looked up the other day because I just randomly get into rabbit holes of like, oh, how was that made and stuff. And that's the body I'm going for. We're looking at a poster of it right now. That's the body I'm going for.
Yep.
And I looked up and like, how old was he when he made Escape from New York? And he was like 28. I'm like, fuck.
I passed it up.
I can't do it now.
My opportunity.
Oops.
Like it's kind of not fair. I mean, maybe I could still get an eye patch by this point.
Yeah, that could do it.
But there's really like, I remember I've spent so much time looking at this poster up here and realizing like the absolute asinine gun that he's holding on to and why there's a silence or a scope on the silencer of a submachine gun.
I wonder if that's where Tarantino got the inspiration for that gun for Marcellus.
Oh, maybe, yeah. Had to have been.
Yeah.
That, you know, that Mac 10 or whatever. Like, this isn't even that. This is like a sub 5.
I'm closer to Ernest Borgnine than I am Kurt Russell in this movie. Yeah, so.
No.
Whoops.
Dang it. So, yeah, Escape from New York.
We got to go. Bud Larson's number 2. I think we're hitting these movies now that need to have full episodes at this point. Escape from New York.
Totally.
Bud's number 2, Stripes. This classic military comedy with Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, and yes, John motherfucking Candy. Mm. So many great quotes from this movie. We zip in, we pick them up, we zip right out again. We're not going to Moscow. It's Czechoslovakia. Looks like going into Wisconsin. I love this movie. I can't wait to do a full episode on this. Stripes. I mean, we're going to keep exercising our John Candy cards. So Stripes is clearly one that's got to be on the Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, John Candy.
Oh, I'm sorry. The comedy, like comedy trio. Yeah. Greatness,
is that a movie that you'd want to watch?
I don't think I'd want to watch that.
I don't think I could tolerate it.
Nope. All right. My number one. Listen, I gave this a lot of thought. And I know we have our rules for reasons, but, With the pickings I had in this year, I can't not say that Raiders of the Lost Ark is my number one. Yeah. We did an episode on it. It's my favorite Indiana Jones film. It won our Harrison Ford bracket.
Oh yeah,
defeating Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah,
like I can't leave this movie off. This movie, I still think about how great this freaking movie is. And this was clearly probably the number one movie of the year, right?
Like, yeah, had to have been.
I mean, it had to be. And for me, it's the number one movie of the year.
Yeah.
For me. It has to be. I don't even have to say anything else about it.
It's a goddamn masterpiece. Yeah. Go check out our episode on it. We say a lot about it.
We talk a lot about it. I'm not going to talk about it.
Yep.
Sean, you're number one.
Good job. Numero uno. Let's go with another. You listen to our Pulp Fiction episode. I mentioned this movie. This is where... Tarantino thinks John Travolta has his best performance of all time.
Ooh.
And it is Brian De Palma's Blowout. Excellent fucking movie. Of course, the only reason I watched this movie was because it was one of Tarantino's favorite movies. Great stuff. John Travolta plays this guy. He's like a Foley artist. He's like re-records like dubbing and everything like that. And he's doing a slasher movie, actually. And he goes out and tries to get some like car sounds at like this bridge, and he witnesses an actual crime happen, and he like records it. And so, him along with Nancy Allen actually are trying to like figure out who this killer might be or like who the victim might have been. John Lithgow gives a fucking fantastic performance in this. It's Brian De Palma, dude. It's like one of the best movies of the 80s for sure.
Okay.
Love it.
That's fucking great. Yeah, I have never heard of that movie, but
no.
I'm in. Sounds awesome.
If it's Brian De Palma and then you've got John Travolta, then I will watch it just for that. And you added John Lithgow in there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, sounds good.
Yep.
Cool.
What's your number one, man?
It's Throat Warrior.
Fuck yeah, dude.
It's Mad Max 2, essentially. That's what you got. But I remember more of this than I do... from the original one. It's Road Warrior is like, I remember distinctly like the scenes of him and the gyro like pilot hanging out behind the rock, and like he has his dog with him and everything, and like eating the dog food out of the can, and the gyro pilot it's like a sandwich. The little helicopter pilot guy, and he's like got his little fork, he's just like God. It's like he just wants some so bad. And then Mel Gibson just throws it to his dog, and the dog just, he just doesn't get anything. I don't know. It's, there's something about these movies, these like desolate apocalypse movies, that I always have such such a draw for, like such an affinity towards. And when you're Mad Max with a dog, and it's, you know, I don't know what else you can say, man. Like it's kind of a classic. It kind of goes back to a classic like Western style as well, trying to help this town or whatever that from these hordes of just road idiots. So, but young Mel Gibson is one of those guys is just like in line with like young Kurt Russell, you know, like that guy is a hero. He is a gritty hero, and I'll watch that all day. So I just very distinctly remember catching this on like TNT at different points all the time, and then finally getting to watch it one time all the way through. And I loved it. So yeah, I think it's a great movie, and it's a super fun watch.
You see that movie and I guess Fury Road too, but like you even go back to Road Warrior, and I think I even just like saw glimpses of it on TV. I'm like, holy shit, are they really fucking doing this for real?
Yeah.
You know, like, and they are, and that is so much fun to watch. Just like cars going one direction and people jumping from car to car or whatever. Like it's, practical effects up the yin yang.
It's pretty crazy, man. Like you, when you watch this stuff, and I don't know. I think it's a really fun movie, and to watch that stuff happen in the '80s, it's kind of a treat. We don't really get that much anymore.
Right.
Not in the same way, anyways.
Mel Gibson was 25 in that movie.
25. So I guess I might as well be dead.
Yep. And he's 68 now, so let's do the math. Cool. Anyway,
25. I've had 3 heart attacks.
I've had 3 knee surgeries.
All right, last one. We got Bud Larson's number one. Bud Larson,
because you work out too much, you know.
Yeah, you know me.
You play golf too much.
Played too much damn golf.
You're stuck around those ink dyes in your screen printing.
I know. I keep poisoning myself.
Bud Larson's number one. He's going with Porky's. He says, with a movie about high school teens, I feel like we have to do this movie in a full episode. Mm. How many movies have you guys done about high school aged kids? Moving on. The part while sitting in the principal's office while Balula Ballbricker describes his penis she had a hold of in the shower scene is absolutely hysterical. Also, how were they allowed to do a shower scene? Different times, I guess. You're absolutely right.
You're in there, yeah.
Yeah, the way different times. And following that up with Kim Cattrall, absolutely stunning. Yeah. I mean, look, we got Porky's, we got Stripes, we got what was the one we had? Escape from New York. I mean, those are at least 3 ones that will probably be coming up soon. And then there's a bunch of other options here too. So
yeah, man. Hey, Bud, I like your taste, buddy.
But I didn't mean that. I mean, it's just I was a little jealous that you're 1981 and I'm 1982 because 1982 might be even worse than 1981. So I was a little jealous.
That's
where my negativity comes.
I am jealous now.
Yeah.
That was a banger year, bro.
Bang years.
Good job. Good job for your parents, you know?
Well, good job, everybody. We will catch you on the flip side.
On the flippy sides, man. Flippity-fly. Come on.